You can start now, Father.
Can I start now?
You can.
Okay. Let's start in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we are going to pray with the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Those of you who know it at home, you can join me. Come, Holy Ghost, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy spirit, and shall be created, and they shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who did teach the hearts of thy faithful people, by sending them the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have right judgment in all things, and even more to rejoice in his holy comfort. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray the prayer of the month. Mary, my mother, I love you. Love me too. And give me a seal of the will of God for my soul. Give me your blessing too, that I may do all my actions under your maternal gaze. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to all of you who joined us this evening for this session of the study of the Book of Heaven, and during this month to study the meditations of the Queen of Heaven in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. Today is a very special celebration because today we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, the day in which the Church is born, the mission given to the disciples to go and to teach the gospel to all nations. They receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we will talk about that during the class, so just to keep that in mind. Today I want to continue to study, to go through the Book of Heaven with the meditations of the Blessed Mother. But I want to comment on the Holy Spirit. We have been talking about the Rosary being a Trinitarian prayer. And we have been talking how the Rosary is composed by God the Father, continued by God the Holy Spirit. It contains the prayer of Jesus, the Son, the second person of the Trinity. So in that way, we say it's a Trinitarian prayer. We pray with his Son prayer. We pray to God with his Son prayer, the prayer our Lord Jesus gives us. In the Rosary, we find the glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. And we say, as it was, the desire there in this little prayer, we find the desire to give glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, meaning as it was before the fall, meaning in a perfect way, corresponding God. Way. So in this sense, we say the Rosary is a Trinitarian prayer. And we will continue to meditate on that. And especially today that we have the Feast of Pentecost, I want to go to the Gospel of Luke. For those who have your Bibles at home, just to visit that page, that passage in the Gospel of Luke. We find the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth, and we see that as soon as Elizabeth hears the greeting of the Blessed Mother, the child, meaning John the Baptist, leaps for joy in the womb of Elizabeth. And the Gospel in Luke 1, chapter 41, it tells us that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. These words, we find these words in the Hail Mary. The first part, we find it in the visitation of the angel to the Blessed Mother. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you, and blessed is the, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. So in Luke chapter 1, verse 28, we find the first part, and that's God the Father. We already talked about that. But today, that is the Feast of Pentecost, we want to focus in the Holy Spirit and the Blessed Mother. So in there, we find the words of the Holy Spirit given to Mary, the Holy Spirit exalting this creature, this beautiful creature that is Mary, the soul, and saying, blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. These are the same words that we repeat in the Hail Mary when we pray the Rosary. And in the Rosary, we find also the Our Father, which is the prayer of Jesus, his request that we pray in this way, and we pray for the kingdom to come. So right there, you find the Blessed Trinity and our desire now directing our prayer, directing our Rosary, this beautiful prayer, directing it towards giving glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, praying with the words of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, directing this prayer for the kingdom to come, for the kingdom of the divine will to descend. So we children, we can say children of the divine will, praying with the words of our Father, using those same words of God to ask for this kingdom to descend. So praying as God prays, basically, we are doing. So God cannot reject this prayer that is his own prayer. And he cannot reject the request that we are asking, the kingdom to descend and to reign on earth as it reigns in heaven, because that's the desire of our Lord Jesus. That's what he desires for us to pray in the way he wants us to pray. And the request that is contained in the Our Fathers is for this, for the kingdom to descend. So you see that this prayer that we say in the Rosary is so powerful. It's using the words of God to ask for what he really wants us to ask in the way he wants us to ask. So the Holy Spirit praying in us when we pray the Hail Mary. And in this, we see the fulfillment of sacred scripture also, that we do not really know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit who prays in us. When we pray the Rosary, it is also the Holy Spirit praying in us through these words, exalting the Blessed Mother, and the whole heaven rejoices when they hear, all the saints and angels, they hear that we are asking. We children now here, we have the knowledge of this gift, and we are asking for this to descend, especially all of us who know the gift of living in the divine will. We should be more careful than when we pray the Rosary, that we really know what it really means now in a deeper way, in a deeper sense. We enter into this mystery, remembering that is God the Father praising the Blessed Mother. It is the Holy Spirit exalting this beautiful soul, and is our Lord Jesus in the Our Father praying in us. In union with him, we pray this prayer, requesting for the kingdom to come, and that we are directing this prayer to give glory to him as it was in the beginning, as it was before the fall. So with this idea in mind, I want to talk about a little bit to understand how was the glory that God was receiving at the beginning from Adam and Eve, because we say all the time, glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, And we say, as it was in the beginning, may it be now and forever. So how was it at the beginning? Before the fall, God was receiving praise, glory, honor, adoration from his creature. He was receiving from Adam and Eve, he was receiving a perfect glorification. He was receiving at every moment, he was receiving the correspondence of the creature to God. And what happened in the soul of the creature when they correspond to God, God was able to redouble wherever they gave to God. In volume 14 of the Book of Heaven, I don't have exactly right now the passage, but I think it's May 23, 1927, something like that. But it is the prevenial act and the actual act. I don't know if Barbara could help us with that during the class to find the right passage. But in there, we find that our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta that whenever we do the prevenial act and the actual act, this multiplies, it's been multiplied all the time. So that means that when we immerse ourselves in the divine will, all our acts, they multiply, they get multiplied. So in the beginning, when Adam and Eve, they were living in the state of grace before the fall, they were in complete union with God. So that means that they were able to receive from God all that God had to give to them. They have the capacity at every moment, they were filled with grace. In the salutation of the blessed to the Blessed Virgin Mary, the angel says, "Hail, full of grace." The Blessed Mother was always full with grace at every moment of her life. There was not a moment that she was not full of grace. There was not a moment in which she was lacking this fullness in her. She was always in complete union by virtue of possessing the gift of God's will in her soul from the moment of her conception. So this gift maintained her in union with God, with his will all her life. So at every moment of her life, she was always full with grace. She was never lacking anything. All the grace, all the beauty, she was always growing in. I explained last Sunday, she was always growing in grace, in likeness, in beauty. She was always filled with God. And this is what happened with Adam and Eve before the fall. They were always filled with God at every moment of their life. They were filled with God. And this is what we desire when we pray the Rosary, to give glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as they were giving glory to God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit before the fall. But because we live in the decayed world now, after the fall, we are unable to receive all of this that God wants us to give, because we don't possess the capacity. We fall into spiritual blindness, spiritual death, by virtue of them eating and from that tree, by disobeying, by departing from the will of God, by separating themselves from God and being disjoined. They became disjoined members. So we belong to this decay world after the fall, and we need to learn how to go back to this unity. So we can say in a way that to live in the will of God is to be in complete union with him all the time, as Adam and Eve were before the fall, at every moment, as the Blessed Mother was united with the will of God at every moment, as our Lord Jesus, by being united to the will of God, always, he always remained. Of course, in him we see the unity of the human and the divine, because he possesses by nature, he possesses the divine will because he is God. He, as man, he possesses the human will, but his human will remained always under the divine will, never had a single act independent, separated from the will of God, always united to God's will. So this way of living is what our Lord Jesus wants to give us now through these writings. So to understand now this unity and how the Holy Spirit in the Blessed Mother work in the life of the Blessed Mother, we understand how this union of the creature with God was at the beginning before the fall, and what the creature was receiving. The creature was receiving at every moment, everything that the creature gave to God became multiplied. God multiplied because God knew that the creature had the capacity to receive. And there was just an exchange of love between God and the creature. At every moment, the creature was filled with God's grace, with God himself. God himself filling his creature with himself. So this is what happened in the sacraments now. God fills us with his grace. God filling our soul with himself according to our capacity. And it starts in the sacrament of baptism, that as soon as we are cleansed, the Holy Spirit descends and he fills us with God. He fills us with himself, faith, hope, and charity, the three theological virtues. And we saw that faith is God himself. Love is God himself, filling the soul of the creature with himself. And the same with the virtue of hope that we need. So in the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we see that she's at every moment of her life filled with all these graces, that she doesn't lack anything. So when the angel salutes her, giving the message of God the Father, bringing the words of God the Father, exalting her, the full of grace, I am with you, right? Do not be afraid. So these words that we say in the rosary, this echo into heaven whenever we pray the rosary. And in God, there is one eternal presence. In God, there is always one eternal presence through the gift of living in the divine will. We are able to enter into that eternal presence of God and to deposit our prayers in there so that forever our prayer of the rosary will echo heaven and will bring the joy to heaven, into heaven, the joy that heaven will see that now, from here, from earth, the children of the divine will, they are learning to pray in this way, that our prayers now are given to God in a perfect way, as Adam and Eve were given before the fall. So our prayers now, especially the prayer of the rosary that, as I explained, it contains the words of the Blessed Trinity there and the desire of the creature to correspond to God in a perfect way. And when we immerse ourselves, we enter into the eternal mode, we could say. By immersing ourselves in the divine will, we place all these prayers into the eternal presence of God, so God forever will hear these prayers, forever they will echo into heaven, and heaven will exult with joy to hear the words of the Blessed Trinity repeated by the children now here on earth, the children of the divine will, and their desire to correspond to love God as the saints, as the angels love God in heaven, and as Adam and Eve love before the fall. So this is really a mystery that through this gift we could enter. And in the life of the Blessed Mother, that we see that she was always into this eternal presence. All her life she lived this way, and our Lord Jesus, he lived also this life in complete union with his Father, in complete union with the divine will. So this will bring some questions also when we study the divine will. Many people, they will ask, well, is Luisa, what about Luisa? Was Luisa living in the divine will in this eternal, was she able to enter into this eternal mode by learning the divine will? In the life of the Blessed Mother, we see that it started at the moment of her conception. We see that she's a pure creature. She's endowed with this grace that God has given to her, and her mission to be the mother of his son, Jesus. She's the mother of the Savior. Luisa Picaretta is a creature. She's not conceived without sin. She's a creature like us. She had to be baptized. Luisa Picaretta had to be formed in the virtues. In our classes about the virtues, we study how she had to be formed. Our Lord teaches her how to live in this way, how to learn the gift, how to make it hers, how to embrace it, and how she was in and out. Luisa Picaretta was in and out of the divine will until she learned how to be fixed in that divine will and never to go out of that divine will. So to live always in that eternal presence of God through this gift. And in the Blessed Mother, we see that this happens since the beginning. So Luisa Picaretta for us is a link to learn how we creatures that we were born into original sin, with original sin also, that have to be baptized, that it is possible for us to learn how to live in this way and how to enter into this eternal mode and to place all our acts and our prayers there so that they may give glory to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was before the fall, not with our human will, not in an imperfect way, but as Adam and Eve were given, as the Blessed Mother was given, as our Lord Jesus himself was given, and as Luisa Picaretta learned how to give. So in this union with God. So to live in the divine will, we will say, is to be in complete union with God, in complete union with his will. And in the light of this unity, we can see that Saint Joseph, we talk about Saint Joseph in the past, that Saint Joseph, by uniting his acts to the acts of the Blessed Mother and our Lord Jesus, they were able to give glory to God in a perfect way, also as the acts of Adam and Eve before the fall, because it is by virtue of us uniting our acts to the divine will that they become divine will acts. So in this way, the acts of Saint Joseph, they give glory to the Father. They gave glory to the Father and to the Son and the Holy Spirit, as Adam and Eve were given before the fall. And in this way, we can say that Saint Joseph was able to receive this in his soul too, even though he didn't have the knowledge of these books, but he was able to be immersed in that unity with God through the acts of the Blessed Mother and through the acts of our Lord Jesus. So this is also something that we have to understand about Saint Joseph, that yes, his acts gave glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit in a perfect way. Once they were united to the acts of the Blessed Mother and the acts of our Lord Jesus, because these acts of the Blessed Mother and our Lord Jesus, they are divine acts by virtue of them living in the divine will. So is this union again that makes our acts, divine will acts. And in this same light, following this same train of thought and this logic, we can see that then the disciples, that they united their prayers with the prayers of our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus teaching them how to pray. They unite themselves with Jesus' prayer as he taught them how to pray, the disciples. So imagine them praying the Our Father together with our Lord Jesus, uniting their will with our Lord Jesus to pray the Our Father for the kingdom to come. Then this become divine will acts by virtue of them uniting themselves to Jesus' prayer. So in this sense, we can say that also the prayers of the disciples, they gave glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit in a perfect way. We can say they were also divine will acts, even though they didn't have the knowledge of what it means to really live in the divine will. Why? Because that was not the mission that they had to accomplish. The mission that the disciples had, we find it in the Gospel of Matthew 28:19-20, in which our Lord Jesus, before he ascends into heaven, he gives to the disciples their mission. And what is their mission? To go to all the nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we find there the institution of the sacrament of baptism. Our Lord Jesus telling them, this is your mission, to go and to baptize them, the whole nations, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Trinitarian formula, God being three in one, three divine persons, one God. And then he says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you to do. And behold, I will be with you for all ages. So their mission is not really to teach us the divine will. The mission of the disciples is to go and to spread the gospel to all nations. Just in the same way that in the Old Testament, we didn't have the sacraments. In the time of our Lord Jesus, this knowledge of how to live in the divine will was not given as it is given to Luisa Picaretta, because the mission of the disciples is to spread the gospel. We see that the disciples, they spent three years with our Lord Jesus being taught by our Lord himself, receiving from our Lord. And in the feast, the readings that we find in the feast today, then we find that our Lord Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to them just to equip them with what they need. They have already the teaching of our Lord Jesus. They have already the doctrine that our Lord Jesus has given them, the gospel. And now they need the final push, the Holy Spirit, that compels them to go, that equips them now with what they will need to go and fulfill their mission. And we find in the readings of today that they receive the gifts of tongues. And in there, in the reading that we have for today, we see that the Holy Spirit descended, and there were Jews from all parts, and each one of them, they heard them speaking in their own tongue, in their own language. So now the Holy Spirit fills the disciples and gives them what they need to go and fulfill their mission. They have been taught by our Lord Jesus already. They have the gospel already. Now they need to go and spread it to all the world. And this is their mission, that the Lord gives a mission to every particular saint. To the disciples is to go and spread the gospel, to go and baptize to all nations, and they are given what they needed to fulfill that mandate. Now for us, who know the gift of the divine will, and now that it is today, that it is the Feast of Pentecost, I want to comment a little bit on the gospel. Today we have two options for the gospel. The first option comes from John 20, 1923, and it tells us how on the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and whose sins you retain are retained." So here we find the sacrament, the institution of the sacrament of confession, the Lord giving them what they need, the Lord giving them power and telling them, giving them the mandate to go and to use this gift for the forgiveness of sins. So there we find the institution of the sacrament of confession. The second option that we have for the Mass today is very important for us in the divine will. And this comes from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, 26 to 27, and 16 to 12, 15. And I'm just going to read part of this Gospel that is important. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the fathers." So this Advocate comes from the fathers, the Holy Spirit of truth that proceeds from the fathers. He will testify to me, and you will also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning of his mission. The disciples were with our Lord Jesus, learning from him. "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when the Holy Spirit, when he comes, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you to all truth." So again, they receive from instruction from our Lord. They were from the beginning with our Lord, 3 years being instructed. Now with the gift of the Holy Spirit, they receive the power of the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues, the gift of being able to speak the language of the world and to go and to spread the gospel. This is the mission of the church, to baptize, to spread the gospel. And in this second gospel that we read today, the Lord says, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. You will not understand it now. I have much more to tell you." For us to study the divine will this much, we find it in the book of heaven, in the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, that we have this vastness of knowledge of how we can learn to live the life of the Blessed Mother and the life of our Lord Jesus, the life that Adam and Eve were living before the fall, complete union with God, so that will equip us, that will give us the capacity to receive, to understand this much more that our Lord Jesus has to tell us about his will, about this life that he wants us to live in union with him as we were created. And this much more, we find it again in the book of heaven. So now the mission of Luisa Picaretta is not to go and baptize, is not to go and preach the gospel. She has a very special mission. Her mission is to write down these meditations, these limitations, these revelations that our Lord Jesus gives to her, to write it down so that we may learn from her how to live in the divine will. So from her, we learn how to be instructed. Her mission is to give us the knowledge of how to live in the divine will. So our Lord Jesus uses her, and her mission is this. Many times, Lisa Picareta, she didn't want to write because these are very intimate conversations between our Lord and Luisa Picareta. And we know that Luisa Picareta was very shy, and we see that she doesn't want to write down all these revelations. And our Lord Jesus tells her, you must write this because this will help others to learn how to live in this way, in this union with God. So many times we wonder, what does it mean to live in the divine will? Well, to really understand it, we have to go and visit these figures, Adam and Eve, before the fall, complete union. We have to visit the image of the Blessed Mother, complete union. We have to see the life of our Lord Jesus, complete union with the will of God. And what is what we want to accomplish through these meditations in the Book of Heaven, the Blessed Virgin Mary, in the Divine Will? She wants us to attain this unity with our Lord, so that at every moment of our life, we may be filled with the grace that we are supposed to have. That the soul may always be filled with the grace that the soul is supposed to have, as if we were never out of that unity with God, as it always were in that complete union. But we have to learn how to be united with God's will. So at every moment also, as the Blessed Mother, as children of the Blessed Mother that we are, we may also be like the Mother, filled with grace at every moment of our life. So in meditating the image of the Blessed Mother, and in doing all these meditations during the month of May, we will encounter that it is the desire of the Blessed Mother to bring us to that union, to enclose us in the divine will, to enclose us in the life of the divine will with every single sacrifice, with every single act. So that's why it is important for all of us to really study the Book of Heaven. I assume that all of you, you read the Book of Heaven, the volumes, not only the meditations of the month of May, but I assume that you have the volumes and you are learning from the Book of Heaven. Wherever you can read, it will give you much more understanding every time you read also sacred scriptures. The Lord has a lot more to tell us. And what allows that understanding to come to us is the capacity that we receive. If we don't have the capacity to receive, God cannot give it to us. And how do we expand this capacity? This capacity is expanded by doing our acts, by doing little sacrifices in the divine will, all our prayers in the divine will, by expanding our capacity to receive, by being also in the state of grace. We have talked about the sacrament of confession today, that how our Lord gives the Holy Spirit to the disciples, and that this portion of the Holy Spirit to the disciples is for the forgiveness of sins. In the Book of Heaven, in volume 12, December 26, 1919, the Lord talks about the sacraments and how they operate. The Lord says that the sacraments operate according to the dispositions of the soul. This is the teaching of the church. So you receive the grace according to the disposition of your soul, according to the state of grace you are. Then you receive the grace that flows from the sacrament, This from the sacrament of confession and from the sacrament of the Eucharist, from all the sacraments is according to the grace. And our Lord says, sometimes the sacraments are even left fruitless, unable to confer the good they contain, unable to give us all the grace they contain. He says, when the soul disposes itself, it does so with the aid of God's grace. God giving grace to the creature, so God's grace extends itself to those individuals that turn to God, as God enabled them to do so. So the soul receives grace from God according to our capacity, according to our disposition. In the sacrament of confession, we avail ourselves, we dispose ourselves to receive this grace, to receive the grace that God wants to give us, so that we may be filled at every moment of our lives with that grace. I want to comment a little bit also in the mystery of this sacrament. When you practice this way of living, this spirituality in the divine will, that when you are able to enter into this eternal present of God, into his eternal present, and when you deposit these prayers, that they forever will echo, they forever will resound in heaven, because they have been deposited into the eternal presence of God, then they will advocate for you forever, forever these prayers resounding into heaven, because we want to deposit these prayers to give glory to him, to the Father, to the Son, and the Spirit, as it was in the beginning, now and forever, meaning for all time, for all ages, those prayers deposited there into the eternal presence of God, giving glory to him. When we go to the sacrament of confession, God is able to bring us back and to give us to restore us into the life of grace, as if we were always united to him. So he restores the grace that we lost during the time we were in sin. With this gift of living in the divine will, for us, God offers even the possibility to enter into this eternal presence and to deposit our whole life as if we were always living in union with his will, by repairing and by doing reparation. When we do this, and when we go to the sacrament of confession with this knowledge and this understanding that we want to enter into this eternal presence of God, that God restores to this life of grace as if we were always living in union with him, this is a tremendous gift, because God restoring the creature, giving the creature this opportunity to come to this union and to receive in the soul what we have lost. So this is also a great act of mercy, and this is what we find in the sacrament of confession, that we receive all this, we are restored to this grace, the grace to us is being restored as if we were never out, as if we were never in away from the life of grace, as if we were always united with him. Of course, provided that all the requirements for the sacrament of confession are there, that the sacrament of confession is truly then valid and effective in the soul. So the Holy Spirit is always working, and the Holy Spirit Spirit is working in the sacrament of confession. The Holy Spirit works at every moment in the life of the Blessed Mother because it is the Holy Spirit, the love of God, acting in the soul, be filling the soul always with a life of grace. It is the Holy Spirit that animates the soul, that gives life to the soul. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 1, we see that when God created, what God created, the book of Genesis tells us that in the beginning, the Spirit of God was already moving over the face of the waters. That's the first chapter of Genesis 1, verse 2. The Spirit of God was moving over the face of the earth already. And that as soon as God infuses his Holy Spirit in man, then the first man, Adam, is able to breathe. So he's fresh with the breath of God, and he recognizes God as God and Father. Thank you, my God and my Father, the author of my life. This is what we find in the writings of Luisa Picaretta, that the Holy Spirit now in the soul of Adam, giving life, producing life, giving to the creatures and returning to God back and forth, this exchange, this correspondence of love. It is the Holy Spirit acting. And we find the Holy Spirit through all salvation history. It is the Spirit of God that leads our Lord Jesus through the desert, that filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus is taken into the desert for 40 days. And it is the Holy Spirit who accompanies him. It is the Holy Spirit that descends in his baptism. It is the Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus is back to the Father on the cross. Into your hands I commend my spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that raises Jesus from the dead. It is the Holy Spirit that is being given to us in baptism. And we have this great advocate. The Holy Spirit is our advocate, is the one who will advocate for us, that accompanies us. It is the Holy Spirit that it is in the church, in the sacraments. And when we pray the Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Holy Spirit is present here because we are entered, and especially when we do this in the divine will, we are entering into that eternal presence of God. And we are repeating the words of the Holy Spirit spoken through Elizabeth. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. So the Blessed Mother hearing, receiving the salutation again, from us now, from the children, from her children now, that have learned to pray as God prays her, giving this praise to her, and the whole heaven now filled with joy as we pray, heaven and earth, right, resound. Now they resound, the words resound, the words of the Father, the Holy Spirit, the prayer of Jesus resounding, heaven and earth praying for the same prayer, same request. May the gift of the divine will descend and reign on earth as it reigns in heaven. Now this union between heaven and earth through this beautiful prayer, you stop and think the Rosary unites us, unites heaven and earth, because it's the children of God using his own words to praise this beautiful soul, praise the Blessed Mother, our Mother, and to request that the prayer of our Lord Jesus now be granted. Heaven requesting that this gift may be given to us. So this prayer unites heaven and earth. No wonder the devil fears so much the rosary, because it's directed towards giving prayer, glory, honor, adoration to God the Father in a perfect way. The creatures learning to pray as Adam and Eve were praying in a perfect unity with God. I think we spoke about this a little bit also last Sunday, that the Blessed Mother, certainly she didn't carry her rosary around. She wasn't praying with the rosary beads, right? But she meditated the rosary, because in the rosary we meditate the life of our Lord Jesus and all the events of the life of Jesus. And in the chapter of Luke, we find that as soon as the shepherds, they go and visit the child Jesus, and they praise the child Jesus, then we see that the gospel tells us that Mary, on her part, she kept all these things pondering in her heart. It's in Luke 2, chapter 19. Mary kept all these things pondering them in her heart. To ponder, she kept meditating these events. She kept meditating the salutation of the angel Gabriel to her. She kept pondering the salutation of Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit. She gave these words, honoring her. She kept meditating the birth of our Lord Jesus, the ecstasies in which the Blessed Mother was to see the child Jesus being born. That she was just in ecstasy and rapture in this life to see the Savior of the world being born. And her lowliness, she contemplated her nothingness. So what do we do in the rosary? We contemplate the life of our Lord Jesus. So in a way, we can be certain that the Blessed Mother, yes, she meditates the mysteries of the rosary in that way. Again, she didn't carry around her rosary beads like we do, but she meditated. The Bible tells us she kept all these things in her heart and she pondered. She meditated the rosary. Not as we do, but even more, because we only meditate certain events, but the Blessed Mother kept meditating all the events of the life of our Lord Jesus. Imagine his first steps, his first words of our Lord Jesus, saying, Mama, Papa. Can you hear me, Barbara?
You got it. Very good. Thank you.
I don't know where I left off. What was the last thing that you were able to hear? We're almost at the end, but can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So I was talking about the Blessed Mother being able to meditate, that the Blessed Mother's kept all these things pondering in her heart with the help of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, the Lord tells us, help us to remember. And as we see in the Book of Heaven, that there is the representation of the Holy Spirit in us, in the memory, in that power of the soul, in the memory resides the image of the Holy Spirit. So the Blessed Mother meditating the events of our Lord Jesus, not only the 20 mysteries of the rosary that we now pray, but the Blessed Mother, even more, the whole life of our Lord Jesus, she kept meditating her up the whole life of our Lord Jesus, all these events, the salutation of the angel, the visitation to Elizabeth, the birth of our Lord, the flying to Egypt, all these things, the little things that happened at the house of Nazareth, the prayer, our Lord Jesus taking food, sleeping, praying with them, is being a child. So the Blessed Mother, filled with all these memories, filled with those events of the life of our Lord Jesus, she meditated all of them. So in a way, we can say that, yes, the Blessed Mother meditated the Rosary. So what we do in the Rosary, we unite ourselves to these meditations with the Blessed Mother in union with her, so that our meditation becomes also a divine will meditation, so the Blessed Mother may enclose us in that life, in that meditation, and that we may be able to be filled with grace also. So again, the Blessed Mother meditated the Rosary even more than what we do. She was not around carrying her Rosary beads as we do, but she was doing it even in a more perfect way, meditating the life. The prayer of meditation is the highest prayer that we encounter, the highest form of prayer that brings us in this union with God. And to be in union with God is to be in His will, united with His will. And now through the writings of the servant of God, Luis de Picarreta, through this knowledge, then this gospel brings new life for us. The gospel of our Lord Jesus, the gospel of our Lord Jesus, now that we hear today, I have much more to tell you, but I cannot give it to you. You will not be able to bear it, to understand it. Well, through this knowledge of the Book of Heaven, we are able to understand it, because this expands our soul, expands our capacity to receive, our capacity to understand. And in the meditations of the Blessed Mother, she wants us to live in this way. She wants the Holy Spirit to abide in our heart, in our soul, and to bring us to that level of meditation, to that level of prayer, to that level of union with God through these meditations. So I want to encourage all of you to keep reading these meditations and just entrust yourselves to the Blessed Mother. Ask the Blessed Mother that she may bring you, that she may enclose you in the life of the divine will, that she may obtain for you this gift, so that you may be filled with that grace at every moment of your life, that your soul may be filled always with that moment, with that grace, that we one day may be able to hear the voices too, full of grace. That we enter into heaven, that we may hear that voice, full of grace. So with this, let us finish today. I'm sorry for the times we were disconnected. I hope we can join next week again. But thank you very much to all of you. Today I cannot see any of you on the screen, but thank you for joining us. If there are some questions, let us take just five minutes for questions related to our class. If there are some questions, now it's time for you. You can unmute and then we can answer some questions.